This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Where's everybody been?
I don't know. We've been waiting on some people is what we've been doing. Holy smoke. Wait a second. Is that Mark Packer? Holy smokes. And we've got alternating green shirts on today. That ought to look good on television. Nice to see you. You look well, by the way. You look like you're doing all right.
Yeah, I'm doing great, all right, my man. It's just good to be up. It's just good to be upright. How about that? It's good to be upright. I do want to say a couple things, though. We're going to have some fun this morning. But I do want to thank everybody who, number one, filled in and all the cards, the notes, the you name it. I mean, I really, really appreciate it. It has been a crazy, crazy couple weeks. And I am fully vaccinated. I've told folks this before, and I will just say this. I'm not going to any political rant here, but thank God I was vaccinated because these last couple of weeks have been no joke. And what I thought was just a little head cold, I don't feel too great. And, you know, next thing you know, you get tested and bam, you're on your back and having a hard time breathing. And it is no joke. So for folks out there, hey, you're smart. You can figure this thing out. But I do appreciate all the notes. I really do. Because the last couple of weeks, Wes, have been intriguing, needless to say. I have watched every single ACC Network show. I've kept up to speed. I mean, when you're sitting there locked behind closed doors for weeks and weeks and no appetite, finally get my voice back a little bit, a little strength just hanging in there. But this thing is no joke. And so for folks out there, be careful, be smart. And like I said, I was fully vaccinated, felt like $1 million in the middle of Lake Tahoe on a Wednesday afternoon. And next thing you know, a couple hours later, I'm in bed thinking, man, what in the world's going on? Life's upside down. And next thing you know, you're tested positive. And the rest is history. But it was kind of goofy there for a couple weeks, having a hard time breathing. And thanks to the doctors and all that good stuff and the well wishes and thoughts and prayers, I appreciate it very, very much.
Well, it's good to see you back. Let's see. We've had the ACC kickoff. We've seen a month's worth of name, image, and likeness. We've got a potential explosive realignment deal on our hands. Trying to think what else you've missed. Oh, we're going to fully reconstruct and re-govern and write all the constitutional stuff for the NCAA.
Sure.
I would suggest you don't take two more weeks off for sickness, okay? We don't need any more Delta variant misses by you. Because when you go away, stuff happens. Yeah. Stuff starts happening.
Yeah, stuff happens, all right. And by the way, this wasn't one of those PAC has been suspended and... I mean, I got some of those too going, no, it's got nothing to do with suspension. It's got everything to do with testing positive and not feeling so hot and losing about 20 pounds. So, again, there was a lot of stuff going on. And I will say it was interesting given the fact that I was literally locked up in a room for 2 weeks with nothing to do other than to watch and to read and to see the reactions of what was going on. And wherever you'd like to start, we could. But I would say this. I mean, you know, this whole Oklahoma-Texas thing, the SEC, a brilliant move, I think, for the SEC. I think it's great for Oklahoma and Texas, assuming that's where they wanted to go. And obviously they do. All of that makes a ton of sense to me. But it was fascinating to watch the reaction, given the fact that I knew I was going nowhere fast and just sitting back watching everybody kind of lose their minds for a while. But the fact that Oklahoma and Texas ended up in the SEC, and all of a sudden there was like this panic. It just came across that way, whether it be the ACC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, whatever the Big 12 turns into. Oh, my God, you need to add this. What are they going to do? You know, everybody just needs to chill.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I thought the Oklahoma-Texas move to the SEC was great. To me, it's a great move for the Southeastern Conference, great for those two institutions. But it's amazing that those are two schools – that have combined to win a grand total of 0 college football playoff games. They haven't won. They have as many college football playoff wins as Meade, Chester, and Fuller, and yet you just expected the world to go, oh, my God, what's the ACC going to do? Are they going to add Army, Navy, West Virginia? I mean, it was like, what are you talking about? You know, the Big Ten, oh, my, how is the Big Ten going to receive? The Big Ten's printing more money than God. They're going to be just fine.
Yeah.
The ACC's got the same situation from day one with or without Oklahoma, Texas. And that is, hey, you got to figure out what's going to go on with Notre Dame. And that hasn't changed. So I thought it was really interesting the last couple of weeks to kind of watch what everybody had a hot take. Hey, we need to add this. You need to do this. The Pac-12 is going to merge with these guys. The American Athletic Conference is going to do this. Hey, chill out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great for the SEC with Oklahoma and Texas. But for the Atlantic Coast Conference, nothing's changed. You know, you're still gonna have to have a relationship with Notre Dame and figure that thing out one way or the other. And on top of that, Wes, quite frankly, for the Atlantic Coast Conference, it's not a matter of who you add. It's a matter of who you have that needs to be better. Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, NC State. Let's go right down the list here. These are schools that need to have good football programs and add to what Clemson has already established. So when the ACC gets Miami and Florida State and North Carolina and NC State, and fill in the blank with your favorite, Pitt, I don't care, you name it. That's where the league has to get better. It's not a matter of going, hey, we need to go out and immediately get West Virginia. What? What are you talking about? I mean, the league needs to get better. So I thought it was interesting sitting on my deathbed, if you will, just to watch everybody just have this crazy reaction. Oh my God, the Big Ten better add Iowa State and Kansas. What? What? Hey, they print more money than anyone. If they do nothing, they're going to print more money than everybody. The Pac-12, hey, here's your idea. You, much like the ACC, need to find somebody that can play. I mean, you got nobody that can play. So I thought it was interesting to watch it from afar as everybody was just freaking out and panicking and hot takes and let's add this and, hey, we're going to steal this from this league. Come on, man. A great move by Oklahoma and Texas for the SEC, but everybody else just needs to chill and go about their business.
Yeah, I think one of the things over the weekend and having some phone calls with a variety of folks is, hey, look, this is the long game now. This the move by Oklahoma and Texas, sure. Well done by both those schools. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of angst about it from the Big 12 side, and I get that. That's the hard part of this. Their institutions that are going to be left behind. What's their landing spot? You know, Bob Bowlesby is one of the really fine, respected administrators in college athletics. Bob Bowlesby, if they can figure it out, the Big 12 is going to figure it out, and good for Bob Bowlesby, and they'll be fine. Do you lose two powerhouses from a television standpoint? Sure you do. We'll talk to Adam Rittenberg coming up in this hour about kind of how all that works. But here's the idea. There's a long game to this, and it does have a lot to do with television. It does have a lot to do with eyeballs watching games, principally football games, majority of it football games. So, you know, look, we're going to go there, too, in the long game of expansion and college realignment. The interesting part for me, Mark, about all this is it coincides at the same time. We're 30 days into name, image, and likeness. We now have the NCAA saying they want to do constitutional reform. We have the college football playoff expansion that's still sitting out there for sometime in September or October. You know, and you can talk all about the sequencing and storylines between Oklahoma, Texas, and the way it went with the SEC. But the reality of it is, all of these things coming together is what makes this a most interesting time in college athletics. By the way, before we get toward the bottom of the of this opening segment here, how was Tahoe? How was Vegas? How was the Grand Canyon? Because the last time we saw you on Instagram, we had some picture with a hat on backwards and you sitting at the bottom of the Grand Canyon. I mean, I was fully expecting, you know, Marlon Perkins and Jim Fowler to come riding up in a Jeep and take you up the North Rim or something.
No, man, we took the helicopter out to Green
Canyon. You're so big time. Big time.
I don't. I'm going to tell you it was big time. We had the helicopter trip out in the Grand Canyon. It was tremendous. Only 117 on the strip. Broke the record by 3 degrees. And when you're out in the desert and you break the record by 3 degrees, you know it's hot.
Yeah.
But that almost feels like another lifetime ago, Wes. I got to be honest with you.
It does.
I mean, when you said that, I was like, Vegas. Oh, yeah, we went to Vegas. It felt like about a year ago. No, Vegas was great. Like, Tahoe was beautiful. Never been there before. And but I will tell you now, going back to this goofy variant, you know, me, Mrs. P, and Gigi, we're out in the middle of the Lake Tahoe on a boat, seeing the whole deal. And I mean, it's incredibly beautiful. Yeah. And that was like a Wednesday afternoon. I felt fine. by 2 hours after getting off that boat and going back to our hotel in North Lake Tahoe, I was under the bed. I mean, I was literally, literally under the sheets, under the bed, and felt like a truck had hit me. So it just goes to show you how quickly, out of nowhere, and I thought it was just a head cold. I really did. I thought it was like, you know, it's all the, you know, air conditioning in Vegas and 117 degrees and in and out and, you know, just figured congested, didn't feel great, sniffles, cough, and next thing you know, it turns into COVID. So I'll just say it again, just be careful out there as you're messing around and going mask, no mask, vaccine, no vaccine. I'm not even going to get in all that stuff. You guys can figure that thing out for yourself. But I am very fortunate to have been vaccinated. So I'm going to tell you because it was no joke. But Tahoe was great. Vegas was hot. And but it's just good to get back to work again. It's good to be out of the bedroom.
We got a lot of ground to cover, man. We got college athletics. We got the Dodgers making moves at the trade deadline. We got all this stuff worked out. I mean, Dodgers, they're trying to catch the Giants. Yeah, they are. Still in second.
They're still in second.
Yeah.
We just got done beating them 2 out of 3.
But here's the biggest thing we have to cover from the weekend, though. Here's the biggest note.
Chester turned 13.
That's it. Thank you very much. The big fella turned 13. There we go.
Big man. Look at that.
Huh?
There he is.
Boss of the house.
13. And the boys haven't been down here in the basement in about a month, quite frankly. But they're in their traditional spots. Chester's sound asleep on the Roger Goodell chair. There he is. And his hair's coming back in after a haircut.
Oh, we've done a little tidying up around the basement down there, it looks like.
Yes, you really can't see it yet, but while we were gone for a couple weeks on hiatus and then, you know, I get sick, we have really cleaned up the place. So, ironically, I thought you were going to be in the basement this morning. No. I had the gate open up and had coffee made for you and the whole deal.
No.
And you're not. But
But
you'll like it. We cleaned this thing out. I started doing it about 3 weeks ago before we went on vacation, all that stuff, because it was just time to clean up the place a little bit. But it looks good. Looks really good.
Yeah, it looks very nice. Look like you put a vacuum down on the floor, too. Look like you did some vacuuming, a little dusting, perhaps.
Yeah, dusting. We got the vacuum thing going on. We had the we cleaned up the floors. I mean, it's everything. We're bacteria-free in here, so you're good to go.
Bacteria-free? You got the sterilization ribbon, you're going to put that around a chair? Or is that what you're going to do?
It feels like a hospital. I'm just telling you. It's as clean as this place has been in 2 years.
So
we're good to go.
Unbelievable.
All right.
So Pack is back. And guess what, Mark? While you were away, we were still streaming on the ESPN app and on SiriusXM ACC 371. We were paying those bills, too, by the way, while you were away.
Of course.
And we have got a good show today. Adam Rittenberg will be here. Plus, in case you missed it, it's with Jeff Sims and Phil Jurkovec. And, you know, in Packers, you know, celebrated return to health here, maybe we take a few phone calls along the way. Never know, right? I mean, it's second day of August. We got practices opening in the ACC Wednesday. Road trip starts Wednesday. We got a lot of things going on here.
Hey, by the way, I noticed as I was sitting upstairs that they're taking us on the road. I didn't get the memo. I just heard it live during the show that they're taking us to Raleigh, North Carolina for the Open.
Yeah. I tell you what now. Miss a little, you miss a lot sometimes. We're looking forward to being in Raleigh with Packer and Durham on the morning of September 2nd. But here's the task of the day. So we're basically, what, a month from football season today? August 2nd, September 2nd, right? So what are you most looking forward to this football season? Knock on wood, it's going to be a lot different than last football season. So what are you most looking forward to? 844-SAY-ACCN. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham on Twitter as well to participate. We've already had a couple good responses. Maybe we'll get a few more.
Can I say one thing?
Sure.
Since you and I are going to Raleigh for NC State, South Florida.
Yes.
I'm going to do the show live, I'm assuming from Carter-Finley. Mm-hmm. Is it possible? I'm going to put the request in right now. Is it possible that Tuffy is there for us?
The new Tuffy.
I love the new Tuffy.
I do, too.
Saw the video of the new Tuffy. I would like to have the new Tuffy on the set when we're in Raleigh. We're just going to throw a 1 month request out.
Wow. Okay.
That's what I'd like to have. I mean, listen, if Boo Corrigan shows up, that's great. Dave Doran, game day, get it.
Great.
You know, cheerleaders, band, fine. But I really want to see, I want Tuffy on the set.
Tuffy, yeah.
Tuffy to make an appearance.
Yeah, that'd be fun. And by the way, we've got people in the Raleigh area who have already reached out to contact me about, you know, where are we having lunch on Thursday after the show and all this other stuff. And I'm like, it depends on the schedule. We got to look at the schedule. We're hoping to be back in Raleigh before the season's over. We're hoping to make a lot of trips around the ACC footprint this year with Packer and Durham. But we know that Packer and Durham and the Huddle will be in the capital city of North Carolina on opening night on September 2nd. And the road trip starts this week, ironically, in Raleigh. So we will. We got a lot to cover. Holy cow. When we come back, Mark has already kind of given you his take on expansion. There are a few other questions I'm going to ask the Pac-Man on his triumphant return to this program, ladies and gentlemen. So when we come back, I got a laundry list of things. Oh, there's the $3 million pinata. Yeah, constitutional reform. It's the exact term you were looking for on your first show back, wasn't it? We'll talk about all that and more with the Pac-Man. Mark's back, and we're underway on a Monday on ACC Network. Good morning.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on Monday, first one of August. It's been a while. 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. You're almost giddy this morning, Wes.
Dude, I am so glad to see you. You have no idea. You have no idea. It's been a month since we've done a show together. A month. We did one on the 2nd of July, dude.
Right.
And we said, so long, here are the takeover days. See you in 2 weeks.
Matter of fact, we're going to end today's show. And to everybody, we'll be back September the 2nd in Raleigh. It's part of our new deal. We do one show every month, and it's on the 2nd. That's how it works.
Yeah. That'll show you guys.
Yeah, that's right.
That'll show y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I want to go here. You mentioned something about this whole expansion thing that took place last week. And first of all, the fast-moving part of it is one thing. Second part of it, though, is this, Mark, and there's got to be some patience deployed here by some other leagues. Okay, the SEC makes their move. The Big 12 has their issue, things like that. But if you're Kevin Warren in the Big 10, you're Jim Phillips in the ACC, you got to be willing to play the long game here, don't you? Sure. I mean, we're at the front end of this. That's why I think what you said in the first segment is probably the prudent part here, right?
Yeah, nothing's really changed other than, hey, for the Atlantic Coast Conference to create an additional revenue generator, it doesn't become, hey, we need to add Army, Navy, Air Force, West Virginia,
right.
Connecticut. It doesn't work that way. There are not enough of the right pieces that you could add in Oklahoma or a Texas, unless you went and you stole Penn State from the Big Ten, and that's not going to happen. Unless Penn State wanted to get out, and I'm not looking to create an issue here. But, you know, the Big Ten is generating more money than anybody. The SEC's done a brilliant job. The ACC has to figure out a way, hey, how do you create additional revenue? Well, the easiest way to do it is, number one, you've got Notre Dame sitting there, and that relationship's been going back and forth, and it will continue to do so. And if Notre Dame wants to stay independent, they've got the right to do so. If they want to join the league, it'll be the ACC between now and 2036. But for the Atlantic Coast Conference to become more prudent, they have to have better teams. And it's not a matter of, hey, let's go get West Virginia. That doesn't solve the problem. The problem for the Atlantic Coast Conference is you have Clemson that's out of sight. You've got Miami talking it. Can they walk it? We'll see. North Carolina expected to be a top 10 team. NC State feeling good about life. Can Florida State get their act together? You got Virginia Tech sitting there going, hey, it's time for Justin Fuente. That's where the league has to be better.
Right.
And if those teams that I just rattled off can give you top 10, top 15, top 20 on a consistent basis, the league will generate necessary dollars. Will you catch the Big Ten? in the SEC? I don't think you will, given what is already in place from a television perspective. But the way you get better isn't by going out and saying, hey, listen, we're going to steal a couple teams from the American Athletic Conference and maybe a guy from the Big 12. You have to get better by what you currently have. And that means North Carolina, Miami, Florida State, Virginia Tech, NC State, you guys need to have terrific seasons and start building upon it to join what Clemson's already established.
All right. Now, here's the other thing, too, and this is the realization of kind of all this landscape shift, is that this college football playoff thing and the expansion to 12 is not nearly the slam dunk it was thought to be a month ago now, Mark. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've had Dabo Swinney and Mack Brown in the ACC come out and make statements about the 12-team playoff, and now all of a sudden you've got Pac-12 representatives. You got people in the Big Ten that want to study this more and look at the 12-8, potentially stay at 4. Now, I don't know if that happens, just given kind of what's been done. But the timing of a lot of this is going to cause the roll to slow a little bit in this mad rush to get to 12 by 2023 or 2024.
Well, I think one of the things that you were talking about last week on the show, and that is the trust factor. And I think given what how all the Oklahoma-Texas thing went down with Bob Bowlesby and Greg Sankey certainly working together with the working group with Jack Swarbrick and Craig Thompson, I think everybody just went, whoa, time out. Why are we on such a fast track here? Yeah, you still have till the end of September to acquire as much information as possible. And I did think it was interesting during the ACC kickoff that schools like North Carolina and Clemson said from a player's perspective that, hey, you know what, I don't know if that's the right number. And again, I think it's going to be intriguing to watch around the country, much less just the ACC. What kind of impact do the players have? You know, you had teams speaking at kickoffs. We're going, hey, listen, I don't know if 12 is the right number. Are there 12 teams that can win a national championship? Probably not. In fact, I think all of us as college football fans, even during the college football playoff expansion and what we have seen, really, quite frankly, how many years have we had four teams that you thought that could win the championship?
Right.
Not necessarily that many years. We've had a couple teams that you said, hey, you know, they're good enough to win it, but do we have 12? Perhaps not. I like the number 12. I mean, the concept the working group came up with, I like a lot of parts of it. But I do think with what went down and how it went down with Oklahoma and Texas, I do think that the ESPN is obviously going to have some say-so. They're the rights holder here. TV always has a say-so one way or the other. But I think the Big Ten, Kevin Warren, basically said, hey, let's pump the brakes a little bit. I think when you see a guy like Gene Smith, who's a brilliant athletic director, go, hey, let's just chill out and just take inventory here. There's no need for us to have to answer this question tomorrow. I think the college football playoff expansion, as we thought a month ago, where 12 looked like, man, this is going to be cool, it's going to be great. I think right now it's on hold. And I do think that there'll be some movement on it one way or the other. But to think that we were just going to snap our fingers and by the year 2023-24, this thing was going to be implemented, that may be a bit of a reach.
Well, at the end, it's all going to be okay, Pac, because we're going to have a special convention in November of the NCAA to reset the rules.
Well, I mean, can you imagine these guys trying to reinvent the wheel? Seriously, I mean, after watching the lack of leadership for name, image, and likeness and how this organization went about its business, for them to now come out and say, hey, we're going to have a special convention and we're going to talk about the Constitution and how we're going to go about our business. Even Mark Emmert trying to create opportunities to become even less effective should tell you everything you need to know. We got enough things going on in the world. The NCAA just kind of feels like a dinosaur that has been passed, and they're just trying to find any kind of place where they can become somewhat relevant. Somewhat relevant. And it just feels that way. So we're going to go about our business with or without the NCAA.
Can I tell you that I laughed? I did laugh last week when I saw the 22-person committee is going to be tasked with, quote, identifying the core principles that define college sports and proposing a new governance model that allows for quicker change without sacrificing broader values. When I saw that quote, I thought, Pac's not kidding. It's a committee room and donuts. We're going to another committee, Pac.
22 deep. Can you imagine... Listen, I don't care what you do for a living. Can you come up with 22 people that you trust, know, and love and go, hey, we're all going to get in the room together and going to get something accomplished? You can't come up with 22. I'm just telling you. I don't care what it is you do for a living. Pizza company, insurance company, radio station. You can't find 22 people that you know that you could get together and actually get something done. So that was so typical of the NCAA that we're going to have another subcommittee meeting. We're going to have 22 of us. That's a lot of donuts. It's a lot of bagels. And a lot more subcommittee meetings after that. I mean, they are just fooling themselves. Total joke.
Oh, man, if I miss this. If I miss this so much. All right. On the other side, we get to the bottom of hour one of Monday's Packer in Durham. Adam Rittenberg is going to join us. Hopefully bring some clarity to some things. Oh, there's Jim Phillips. Nice start. Adam Rittenberg from Chicago next with Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
And Durham on a Monday, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for the program. And yes, we continue to stream live on the ESPN app. All right, let's bring on Adam Rittenberg. Adam will be up to speed on everything that we're getting ready to throw on him. First of all, Adam, good seeing you again. So the over and under of the NCAA being able to basically reinvent itself between now and November. I mean, at first I thought that was a joke when I heard that, Adam. What are these guys doing? What are we doing?
Well, I want to know if you guys are both on the third subcommittee yet to reshape the NCAA, because it's certainly not too late for this action here. You know, it's just almost comical. I think one of the problems with the NCAA, I think you have a lot of well-intended people, but just too many true believers, too many layers, obviously a governance structure that has failed. And now this attempt to sort of fix it here at the 11th hour, it'll be entertaining, but I think all of us are realistic about the fact that leagues are moving forward, commissioners are moving forward, and that's where we're going to be now.
Adam, I want to go to the numbers of people. We talk about this 22 group. Here's the other thing that strikes me about all this. I'm thinking about when you look at Division I FBS football and you look at the way it all sets up kind of long term, how in the world do they continue to integrate 357 D1 basketball schools with 150 D1 FBS football schools? And oh, by the way, 68 to 72 Power Five looking institutions.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's something you just wonder why this is only happening now in terms of that discussion. I think there's certainly has to be concern at the highest levels about where football and the top schools are headed. I think there just needed to be an acknowledgement much earlier in the process, guys. I'm sure you've discussed this, about the fact that schools are different and budgets are different and goals are different, and the commissioners, the power that they have now is certainly much different than it was 20 to 25 years ago when a lot of people were getting into this. And so I'm in favor of progress here. I just think the NCAA has really led from behind on a lot of these issues, and so it's hard to have any confidence that they're going to be able to reshape themselves in an effective way. You never know what's going to happen, but the times have changed so much, and it feels like they're always trying to catch up here at the last minute.
Adam, obviously the Southeastern Conference goes and adds Oklahoma and Texas, which I thought was a great move for all parties involved. But were you not surprised at how many hot takes and panic attacks everybody else had as far as when the Big Ten needs to do this, or the ACC needs to do this, or what in the world is the Pac-12 going to do, and is the Big 12? I mean, it was kind of crazy, wasn't it? It was like, hey, great move by the SEC, but everybody else is still in a pretty good spot. They just got to figure out it. Way to get better, quite frankly.
Yeah, no doubt. And that always happens with realignment. It tends to have that effect. on how it's covered and the reaction to that first move. I remember when the Big Ten was adding Nebraska, there were a lot of reactions as to how that was going to affect everybody else. I think there's a sense, though, guys, you know, I'm curious your thoughts, is that this is just a means to an end. You know, we're going to get to something that's even, you know, more different than we've ever experienced in college athletics, as far as, you know, maybe a group of 24 or 32 or 40 that just play on a certain level that's above everybody else. And I don't know if we're there yet. You know, the ACC is in a fairly stable position. The Big Ten certainly is in a stable position. I think the Pac-12 is in a very interesting position with a new commissioner in George Kliavkov, who I've been very impressed with listening to so far in his brief tenure. You know, the Big 12 is obviously in a different spot, and I understand, you know, maybe the more panic or the concern about how they're going to act from this point on, you know, who they're going to add, who they might lose to other conferences. But those other leagues, I think I don't know if they necessarily need to do anything right now. I think the one thing that clearly needs to happen, and I, you know, knowing Jim Phillips well for many years, I know he'll do this in the ACC, is that you're invested in this process of figuring out what could happen. What are the steps that I need to take to put my league in position to compete in the next 5 to 7 to 10 years, or even 3 years? Things could be quite different. And so, you know, if you're just kind of, oh, that's fine, Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC, we don't have to do anything, that's probably the wrong approach. I think you need to be invested in studying what might help my league, what's realistic, and where do I put my efforts? And I think that's what's going to be interesting to observe here, really, with the other four power conference commissioners, but especially, you know, someone like Jim Phillips in the ACC, given where they are, but where they need to be maybe in the future.
All right, Adam, I'm going to jump into the Wayback Machine here. Like a year ago, you were standing, I think about this time a year ago, you're standing in a parking lot in Rosemont, Illinois, to listen to parents of Big Ten players talking about how they wanted to have a football season, right? And now we've got all this other stuff going on, NIL, realignment, expansion of the playoff. It just seems like the volatility has been turned up a little bit here. And I get all that. But here's the thing that we talked about on Friday with Nicole. You also are well aware, and you wrote about this as well as anybody in the country, about the trust factor of these guys to get football played last year. Do you worry with, and you mentioned George Kliavkov. I think his voice is very interesting in this process. And I think Jim Phillips' voice is very interesting. But apparently Gene Smith wants a voice in this. A lot of people want a voice in this. So where do you think the trust is and the collegiality among all these guys that got us to play last year and now looks a little stirred, if you will?
Yeah, again, I think that's why the next set of meetings are going to be really important. You know, and I know the comments that Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, made to our colleague Heather Dinich last week about, you know, basically saying, yeah, we'll be all right. You know, we've gotten through the differences before and everything's fine and we'll put that aside and we'll lead together. This feels different. You know, Bob Bowlsby from the Big 12 is clearly unhappy, understandably so, especially having worked with Greg on the proposed expansion of the CFP. And so I think that relationship's going to be interesting. But also, you know, I think these guys will all be able to get in a room and be with each other. But I think for those other commissioners, especially Kliavkov and Jim Phillips and Kevin Warren, you know, they have a right to push back on things. Mm-hmm. They have a right to not just go along with what Greg Sankey wants to do. And there's a sense, I get it from, you know, just reading a lot of college football media, that it's going to be, oh, Greg Sankey's, you know, playing chess and everybody else is playing checkers and he's going to get to do whatever he wants. And eventually, you know, the SEC will have this perfect system where they'll have 6 or 7 teams in the playoff every year. I don't think that's necessarily going to happen. And, you know, you mentioned Gene Smith. He has a powerful voice as sort of the leader of the Big Ten athletic directors at Ohio State. I think there's other athletic directors around the country, you know, whose voice will matter in this. But really, those three commissioners, I think not necessarily they need to band together, but they could push back a little bit against what's happened here, or at least say, hey, we need to look at this proposed playoff and figure out what works best for everybody, not necessarily just the SEC and just Notre Dame, because those are the two entities that, when I looked at the playoff, they set to benefit the most because of how strong the SEC was, even at 14, not even counting OU and Texas, and then certainly Notre Dame having 6 access points with a 12-team playoff versus just 4 right now, when you know some of those 4 are obviously going to go to conference champions from other leagues. And so, you know, I do think it's very important that those other commissioners, aren't pushovers, actually have a voice, actually stand up for their leagues, because that's how they're going to be judged here in the next few years.
Well, there's no doubt when you're in a position of strength, like Greg Sankey is in this particular case, you could play a bunch of different roles. I mean, you can go left, you can go right. There's a lot of different. If you're Bob Bowlesby, it's a whole different universe. You're trying to keep your conference together. I want to go back to Notre Dame, Adam. Obviously, from an ACC perspective, if you're going to add a full-time football member, this is the answer to the question. It's not a matter of Cincinnati or West Virginia or Army or Navy or filling a blank. Notre Dame is the answer to the ACC question. So with that said, it seems to me that if this college football playoff expands to 12, it does give Notre Dame more reason not to join a conference. Seems that way to me. That's just common sense. If we stick at 4, or maybe it goes to 8, where all of a sudden, if you're Notre Dame with your independence, it becomes a tougher opportunity to make the playoff, and maybe that is the emphasis of saying, hey, listen, maybe we need to join a league. It seems to me on the surface, the higher the number goes to the college football playoff, the easier it is for Notre Dame to say no to the ACC in football.
Yeah, no doubt, Pac. I mean, that is it's just basic math, right? I mean, right now there's 4 access points, but realistically there's usually just 1 if leagues are down. Like, the Pac-12's been down, and the Big 12, at least from a championship standard, had a multi-loss champion last year. So you increase the number to 8, but if you're going with, 5 or 6 auto bids, that does reduce the number of access points for Notre Dame. And so that might be a way this goes. I don't know if they can reduce the proposal from 12, which everybody seemed excited about a few weeks ago, to a lower number. But if that's the case, I think that might be the impetus for Notre Dame to at least look at that joining a conference a little bit differently. But they have positioned themselves very well, not just with their product on the field, but the potential for them to make so much money off of streaming and having their own television agreement that's been set up for many, many years. I think other things that they've done in their athletic department under Jack Swarbrick in the last 3 or 4 years have also positioned them well to maintain that independence, which, as you both know, is so integral to their identity as a program. But I do think, again, where do you want to put your efforts if you're Jim Phillips? It has to start with Notre Dame. You have familiarity with the school, having been a former administrator. I always joke with Jim that he has like 13 kids, and 3 of them have gone to Notre Dame. I don't know if that's necessarily the right number, but he obviously has some familiarity with that school. So that's, I think, where you're going to at least have that conversation with Jack Swarbrick, have that conversation with administrators that you might know at Notre Dame, just to see what's possible. And then I think if you're Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren, same deal. You're a 1990 grad of the Notre Dame Law School. You just hired Barry Alvarez as a special consultant. You got to know Barry when he was an assistant coach at Notre Dame when they won a national title in 1988. Gene Smith, who you guys just mentioned, Ohio State Athletic Director, former Notre Dame football player. Penn State Athletic Director Sandy Barber, former Notre Dame administrator. So the Big Ten and the ACC both have a lot of strong connections to that school. And I think before you move on to anything else, you have to figure out where is Notre Dame truly at, and are they achievable as far as a full member? Certainly the ACC has to do that, but I also think the Big Ten has to do that.
Also feels like, Adam, I mean, we can talk all about this NCAA stuff in November, and all that's fine. But it really feels like the next meeting of the CFP Management Committee in late September, early October, is going to be pretty critical to what the next 5 to 10 years of college athletics, college football in particular, will look like.
Oh, without a doubt. And again, a few weeks ago looked like a meeting where this proposal could be voted in, and that we could figure out, okay, this is going to go into effect in 2023 or 2024. Mm-hmm. I would be very surprised if that green light was given at that meeting, given what's happened. You guys have read some of the comments from George Kliavkov. I think privately other people are saying, whether it's athletic directors, commissioners, people who have say in that process, that they also would be very surprised. It's now a time to reassess, figure out where that trust factor is. What do these other leagues truly feel? Because again, Kliavkov was not in that meeting where they came up with the 12 teams. Neither was Kevin Warren. Neither was Jim Phillips. Bob Bowlesby was, but he might have a different view now after what Greg Sankey was clearly up to during that time. So I think it's one of the more fascinating, some of these meetings, nothing really happens, and it's kind of a waste of time. I'd be very surprised, A, if we have a vote of yes at that late September meeting, but I think it's also going to be a very interesting one in terms of are we going to go down a different path? How much is this going to delay the process? Does a completely new proposal need to be reconsidered, and then look at when it could be implemented? So I think the timeline has been thrown off, no doubt, by what's happened in the SEC.
Adam, one more thing for me. I thought it was interesting that football players at North Carolina and Clemson, coaches as well, basically said, you know what, 12's too many. That's too many games, too many teams. What kind of impact do you think players are going to have around the country in terms of the end game of whether or not we go from 4 to 8, 8 to 12, stay at 4, whatever the combination may be? What kind of impact will the players have?
Yeah, I think you have to consider their views here, especially those who have been through the four-team playoff several times, like the Clemson players. I spoke to some Ohio State players at Big Ten Media Day who have been part of the playoff each of the last 2 years. And so it's definitely a factor. But as you guys both know, and this is, again, what drove the recent moves of the SEC, it is about money. And a 12-team playoff and another layer of games, especially a layer of games on campus, is going to bring everybody a lot more money going forward. And so that's certainly what folks on that committee are weighing here. Will certainly be something that comes up in September or in some subsequent meetings. But I just get the sense that everybody is looking at their balance sheets going forward and how can we best position ourselves financially, and certainly having a larger playoff. We knew that, but now we have a proposal, and I think it's going to be hard to completely walk that back. But to your point, to completely write that off and those opinions of those players and influential coaches like Dabo Swinney and Mack Brown, who both won national championships, is also a foolish thing to do. So another layer of conversation, another reason why I don't think we're going to have an answer in September.
Well, the best news is, Adam, there's no more parking lot press conferences scheduled for you this year. You're good. I think you did your one a year ago, and now you're done with parking lot press conferences in Rosemont, Illinois. How's that?
I'll take it. Yeah, that was the only event I covered during COVID other than one game, which was Clemson-Notre Dame. So I am looking forward to getting out a little bit more this year. And I have talked to some of those parents in the Big Ten, and they do feel a little bit better about the direction of the conference.
So. There you go. Thanks a lot, Adam. Be well. Take care.
You too, guys. Appreciate you.
All right. Adam Rittenberg, you can see his work at ESPN.com and occasionally visits with us. We appreciate that as always. Still more to come. And in case you missed it, is next with Georgia Tech's Jeff Sims. Now a sophomore for Jeff Collins. He visited with Kelsey and me at the desk in Charlotte. You'll get a recap of our visit with number 10 from Jacksonville next on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Packer and Durham.
Well, we've told you football season right around the corner now, about a month away, and the ACC football road trip starts Wednesday in Raleigh. We'll take you through the month as we get ready for what should be a thrilling fall in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Don't miss a moment. We start with the Wolfpack Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Katie George, Eric McClain kick off our coverage right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. You missed a ton of quarterbacks, by the way, at the ACC kickoff in Charlotte. A lot of people want to know Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett had questions, a lot of questions, for Mark Packer. Off the air, of course. We got somebody. He wanted to know, number one, Kenny Pickett wanted to make sure his appearance counted as a Packer and Durham appearance. Kelsey voted yes on that, by the way.
I saw that. I admit, listen, I might not have been with you, but I was with you. I watched every second of our coverage. Every second.
All right. Well, one of our first guests was the Georgia Tech sophomore quarterback, Jeff Sims, who joined us at the desk. And no surprise, we asked Sims, you flew up to Charlotte this morning, and like Jeff Collins always likes to do, you came in style, apparently.
Well, we got to the airport around 8 o'clock. And then we seen the private jet, and it was just so nice. So when we got on, we just took a bunch of videos, sat down. It was nice and air conditioning, lots of space, and it was just a nice, comfortable ride.
Jeff, a year ago, you're coming from Sandalwood into Georgia Tech. Everything's in upheaval, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no spring ball. There's really no off season. And then you get the call to start game one.
Yeah.
And then you go through the ups and downs of a very unique freshman season. How different is this right now today from a year ago?
I mean, last year, it definitely shocked me, like, how the season went, because I've never really had a season like that.
Yeah.
So, but now this year, I feel way more comfortable. And I just feel like everything's kind of back to normal. So I've been just working on just getting better in the film room and just going out there and trying to have as much fun as I can.
We had EJ Manuel on set with us a little while and talking about how sometimes for a quarterback, those tough times are where you learn the most and where you grow the most. What did you learn last year from some of those struggles that'll help you this year?
The biggest thing I learned was just not to think so much while I'm playing. Mm-hmm. So I would find myself thinking about some of the mistakes that I've made previous games and just trying to focus on not making those mistakes again instead of just going out there and playing.
You know, it's interesting, too, because while you got to the field in game one, we had to wait a little bit to find your battery mate. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs was a week or two after that.
Mm-hmm.
But once you guys got rolling, what did you learn a year ago, and how have you been able to expand on it as you get ready for your sophomore campaigns?
I've just been looking at all the, like, watching film on all the freshman mistakes I made last year, all the passes that I missed that I should have completed, and just thinking of, like, how I can do those better, and just going through and watching every team, and just going through and watching, like, what defense they were in, and how did I fix that, or what coverages they were in, or what protections I could have fixed last year. So just going into this year smarter is one of the biggest things for me.
And Jeff, one thing that is so different, I'm sure, from last year to this time this year, is you got a spring season.
Yeah.
You know, last year you come in fresh as the freshman starting quarterback, but now you've had a spring season.
Yeah.
How beneficial was that, and how much confidence does that give you heading into next season?
Yeah, spring was definitely a great thing for us because we got closer as an offense. We were able to put a lot more work in, get more comfortable with each other, and just learning everything as a group, you know. And then overall, just having more fun with each other and building that team chemistry.
All right, so what's gotten, in terms of development, we heard about the offensive line in the spring. Roddy and I did the spring game. We're really impressed with the way the offensive line was gelling.
Yeah.
We talk about you and Gibbs in the backfield. There's also depth at that position. You got playmakers on the outside. Which part of this do we need to look at first? In terms of your success as a football team, is it the offensive line?
It definitely is the offensive line. They've been working their butts off all offseason. They've been in the film room. We got two major leaders on the team that's in that room that just keeps that room together. And also we got Coach Key. You know, he's one of the best offensive line coaches in the country. So just that unit, they've been working. They've been working hard and just staying together.
A lot of leaders on your team, Jeff, but also your coach, the energy that he brings to a room, to a moment, to a game. What's it like to be part of maybe even those locker rooms? Because I'm sure that's probably where he's the most fiery behind closed doors.
Yeah, Coach Collins, he's very unique. I don't think there's any other head coach like him in the country. So he brings a lot of energy. He loves all his players. He's involved with all of us. And he just goes out there and he brings the most passion that you'll ever see from a coach, you know? And he gets us fired up and it gets us ready to go.
All right, we got a veteran guy on defense in Wanye Thomas who's here.
Mm-hmm.
We got a transfer in Ace Ely who's made the ride here today.
Mm-hmm.
You guys defensively are gonna look a lot different.
Oh yeah.
What did you see on that side of the ball in the spring that gives you a lot of encouragement?
They just had more energy. They played faster, you know, and they just played more together.
Mm.
So like the whole offseason they've just been working together, watching film together, and they just been you know, just working together. And I feel like our defense is gonna be a lot more disruptive this year.
You know, you look at this team, and if you just look at numbers from last year, they could be significantly different this year. What are your expectations for the Georgia Tech football that we're gonna see this year? What will we see from this program?
You will see things that people would not expect of us. So we're going to come out there and surprise a lot of people. We're going to play fast. We're going to play productive, and we're just going to execute.
And you know the schedule's real. Oh, yeah. Everybody's talking about it, right?
Oh yeah, we want all the tough schedule vibes and all that. We just want to go out there and play.
Yep, schedule's real. There's no doubt about that. Strapping on real tight, Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I mean, Northern Illinois on opening weekend, and then you get Kennesaw State, and then after that, I mean, there's no let-up. I mean, Northern Illinois should be improved. They didn't have a great year last year in the MAC, but that's the Saturday night primetime game, by the way, here on ACC Network, that opening weekend. But you get Northern Illinois, Kennesaw State's a really good FCS program pack, as you know. They've done a great job in a short time there. But you probably get those two, because after that it gets pretty stiff quick. So
no doubt.
Jeff Sims and Georgia Tech on the way. When we come back, hour two. Oh, we haven't forgot about you, Pac. Best and worst of the weekend, including a BC player who wins a game for a Syracuse alumni team. What in the world? Packer and Durham on ACC Network.
This is the Packer and Durham podcast.